Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." This is the text. To understand the full meaning of what Christ did by going out into the wilderness, we need to set the stage a little bit. This is the first thing that he did after his baptism in the Jordan River. He begins his public ministry by going and spending 40 days by himself out in the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for these 40 days. Why would he do this? Shouldn't he be preaching, teaching, calling his disciples? I mean, time's a-wasting. He's only going to be there for a little over, 3-plus years. It seems like a waste of time, and all it does is open the door for Satan to tempt the Lord, to put our salvation at risk. However, this was not a waste of time, but it was something that the second Adam had to do. Because when the first Adam sinned and ate from the forbidden tree, he was cast out of paradise and into the wilderness. When Christ comes to take away the guilt of our sin, fulfill the law, restore creation, he departs the paradise of heaven and comes to earth and then goes out into the wilderness and does not eat. The second Adam is not like the first. You see this everywhere throughout Scripture, in the New Testament in particular. What we see happen with Jesus is that either he fulfills something that could not be fulfilled under the Old Covenant, or he does the opposite of what was done by the first Adam. Adam was not content with the place in life that God had given him. He wanted to be equal with God, knowing the difference between good and evil. Christ, being true God, as St. Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, Christ does not consider equality with God something to be grasped, even though he was equal to him, but made himself to be nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The second Adam had to undo the damage of the first Adam. He takes on Adam's punishment and goes into the wilderness. Now Adam refused to humble himself before the Lord. Jesus willingly humbles himself, suffers humiliation. Satan conquered Adam when he ate of the tree. Jesus conquers Satan in the wilderness when he refuses to eat. And when Jesus wins his final victory over Satan, there's a tree involved there also, the tree of the cross. Satan comes to Jesus with lies and half-truths, with false promises that he can't fulfill. The first Adam listened and believed the false promises of Satan. "Oh, if you eat, you won't die. You'll be like God." Which is, of course, what Adam wanted most. The second Adam, Christ our Lord, did not yield to the desires of his stomach. And he repeatedly rebukes Satan with the word of God, which is the greatest and most nourishing bread. Jesus going out into the wilderness for those 40 days, it was not a waste of time. It also was reminiscent of the 40 years that the Israelites spent in the wilderness. The Israelites' lack of faith and their fear of not having sufficient food caused them to repeatedly murmur and rebel against God. Jesus does not succumb to the desires of his stomach. He lives by the word of God, because man does not live by bread alone. It's just like Moses did on the mountain for 40 days when he was receiving the covenant. He went without food. Elijah, while fleeing from Queen Jezebel, also goes 40 days without food. This is not saying that fasting for 40 days is a dieting style that is to be promoted among God's people. But in certain extreme cases, God has sustained certain individuals without food for long periods of time. It doesn't mean that they weren't hungry. And the temptation for Christ to recreate the miracle of manna in the wilderness, the bread from heaven out in the desert, that temptation was powerful. I mean, I get grumpy when I miss one meal. I can't imagine days and days. But as the second Adam and as the Savior of Israel, it was Christ's place to not be like the Israelites and grumble about an empty stomach, and to not be like the first Adam and eat the food suggested by Satan. Christ answered Satan three times from the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus was nourished by the word of God, and it was satisfying. Satan needs to be answered. It is Satan who whispers in our ear that word of God, the sacrament, you're going to be satisfied with that? I mean, don't you want something a little more, you know, exciting? Something a little, you know, something that's just more? Well, the father of lies wants you to believe that what we do here is no big deal. That there's more out there. Satan has one goal in mind. He wants you to be deceived about who God is. Adam lost sight of who God is and rejected his word. It is healthy for you and I to remember that this fight, it's simply about you. C.S. Lewis wrote, he says, in all discussions of hell, we should keep steadily before our eyes the possible damnation, not of our enemies, not of our friends, but of ourselves. Satan is after you. Satan is after me. And he will attack you and me where we are weakest. He doesn't attack your strengths. He wants you to be confident in your strengths. He knows that pride will kill faith faster than any sorrow or hunger. And when we are tired or worn out from the pain and sickness, the loss of loved ones, or when we seem to have an endless hunger for things that God has not granted us to have, Satan is always looking for that opportune time to destroy you, to destroy your faith. We like to talk about Satan's attack on the world the same way we talk about the war in the Middle East. You know, it is a terrible shame that there is war going on over there. Those people are being attacked, tormented, driven from their homes, killed. I mean, if this keeps up, it may even affect me and my family someday. And that's the way we look at Satan. Well, the reality is, he's attacking you today, just as he does every day. Maybe it is through pain and hardship or loss. It might be through wealth and prosperity. I mean, Solomon's greatest spiritual struggles came at the height of his wealth and fame. Maybe it's through distractions or the seemingly righteous reasons to neglect God's word or to not treat our neighbors in the way that we should, but we're righteous in our neglect of them also. The Spirit comes to us, and He strengthens us, and He does it through the Word of God, and through that Word joined with the elements of the sacraments. Luther says that anything that claims to be of the Spirit that is not of the external Word and sacraments is of the devil. When Satan comes and says, you're going to be satisfied with God's word, with some bread and wine, he wants you to see or to think that what goes on here is no big deal. As I said last week, this is where we get to experience a little bit of heaven on earth. And it is here that Christ comes. We gather here in God's house as living witnesses that man does not live by bread alone. And we get to partake of that most satisfying bread as the Word of God comes to us. With our confession of the Creed, we echo the words, "Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." And as we gather as the community of believers and pray for strength, that we do not put the Lord our God to the test, we see the example that Christ set for us in the wilderness is an example for us to follow as we battle against Satan. We are Adam's children, and we are going to repeatedly fail just as he did. But the second Adam has come, and he continues to come. And he has restored all that sin has undone. He departed the glory of heaven to come to earth and go to the wilderness to suffer and be tempted in every way that we are, yet be without sin. He has returned to the glory and has assured us that through his death and resurrection, that path is open to us. We continue to suffer in the wilderness of the sinful world. It may be for the next 40 days. It may be for another 40 years. But Christ's return and the resurrection of all flesh, we know from God's word, is just on the horizon. And however long it is until we see that face to face, the promise is sure that God's word will sustain you in the wilderness for as long as you need. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.